I'm spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica, wearing sandals, lighting candles by the sea. I spent Shavuos in East St. Louis, a charming spot, but clearly not the spot for me. Those eastern winters, I can't endure them, so every year I pack my gear and come out here till Purim. Rosh Hashanah I spend in Arizona, and Yom Kippur way down in Mississippi. But in December there's just one place for me. Amid the California flora, I'll be lighting my menorah. Like a baby in his cradle, I'll be playing with my dreidel. Spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica by the sea.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The new off-Broadway show, Old Jews Telling Jokes, is created by Peter Gethers and Daniel Aukrand and is directed by Mark Bruni. In it, five actors present a review that delivers and reinvents classic jokes, features funny songs, and pays homage to some of the giants of the comedy world, and to the brilliant raconteurs from oldjewstellingjokes.com, the website that inspired the show. Old Jews Telling Jokes is in previews at the West Side Theater downstairs on West 43rd Street in New York City, and features Emmy and Obie Award-winning actress Marilyn Sokol. I spoke with Marilyn a few weeks ago about her work in this piece, how she began as a performer, and her work with Jim Henson Studios. Marilyn Sokol, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Sarah.
So we'll talk a lot about your career, but first let's talk about the matter at hand, the show you're in, Old Jews Telling Jokes. How did you first hear about the show?
I don't know. I think my agent told me about the fact that they were interested in meeting with me. And I went, oh, I didn't even ask. I mentioned to my best friend from home, Washington, D.C., her daughter, Joanne. And she said, oh, they're young. My husband and I, we just love that website. You know, he's a great fan of it. And so I looked at the website and met with the guys, and that was that.
And the website is videos of people really just telling jokes, but the play is, of course, more developed than that. How is the evening rollout? What is the show like?
Well, there's some music, actually, some original music, except the Hanukkah and Santa Monica, which is Tom Lehrer. We act out the jokes. Some of them are just done. And a lot of them, it's a very good bunch of actors. It's really there. Kind of genius, actually. It's three guys, one young guy, and two that are, you know, older men of a certain age. And then there's a young'un girl and me.
The show's directed by Mark Bruni. Have you ever worked with Mark before?
Never. What a doll. He really is. He's a good papa, and all directors should be good father figures, you know, but in his back pocket, he's got his surgeon's, you know, chisel. Do they call it a chisel?
Scalpel.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, that's right.
And sometimes he's got a hammer, you know, when you have to really break bones. But if I might, I would love to say the names of my co-conspirators.
Of course.
We have the other lady who is a younger one. That's Audrey Lynn Weston. And the guys are Lenny Wolpe and Todd Sussman. And the young guy, the young'un, is Bill Army. Each one of us is like a different kind of funny, kind of like snowflakes. You know, Peter Gethers and Dan Aukrand are the writers, and they're also exhumers. So that's it.
Was the script complete when you got it, or has there been like workshopping and tightening it up as the rehearsal process?
That's it. What you said, the second. You know, it's editing. You have to with a new piece, you know, and that's the joy of it and the pain of it, too. I personally hate rehearsing.
Oh, really?
Hate it. Always have. Always. From the beginning.
But the performing ultimately.
I love the people. That doesn't mean I don't love my co-conspirators, as I said. But I find it you know, it's stressful. That's all I can say. And I look forward to the fun. But the thing of it is, without this, without the rehearsals, you don't have anything to put to the people. Right. That little gifty, you know.
Mm-hmm. When you were first starting to be a performer, how did you get through those rehearsals to the fun?
I was always performing on the street in the Bronx, singing and dancing. Ain't she sweet? See, you're coming down the street. It's so funny. Even as I sing it now, there's this feeling inside of me. It's almost like, oh, I can't even explain it. It's like a taste or a... It's the same thing in my heart, like when you see a guy that you had a big crush on when you were in junior high or high school. Sometimes it's the same feeling inside your breast. And for me right now, singing Ain't She Sweet, I mean, aside from remembering all the older people sitting on each side of the sidewalk, you know, watching, going, yay, Madeline is so good, you know. And I don't even know where I got Ain't She Sweet from, but maybe one of the adults would sing to me when I was in the carriage. Okay. What? Oh, how did I get through it? I don't know. Prayer. Okay. Really, prayer. And chanting, I chant Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, and I just chant for the good of the whole, you know. Yes, that I fulfill whatever my mission is in the project, but for the good of the whole. That's why you have to be very strong in a new piece, because some of your favorite parts can be struck, you know, and you go, oh, God. I think I'll die. But no, you don't. Okay. You know.
I was wanted to talk to you about your work with Henson Studios, with Sesame Street and Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. How did you get involved working with Jim Henson? And
I answered an ad in Backstage, I think it was, in 1970. I had grown up with the Muppets in Washington. Jim, the Muppets had commercials for coffee. So I was very familiar with them. And it was very early in the Sesame Street process, you know. And so I auditioned for a workshop. They were trying to recruit new Muppeteers. There was also a special coming up with Art Carney called Santa Claus's Switch or something. Santa Claus Switch. So anyway, I was there, and I must say, I'm a lousy manipulator. I mean, there are guys who would maybe disagree, but it's very hard for me to take all the energy that I've developed, you know, and freed up my body to isolate it all in my forearm, which puppeteers really need to be able to do, you know. But Jim liked me, and he liked my voice. And so through the years, from 1970 to, I guess, for a decade, more or less, he used me on Sesame Street, and I had an act, and he would come quite often, you know. It was during a time when he maybe wasn't as recognizable as he became, and I'd play these little boites, you know. There was a place on 46th Street called Brothers and Sisters, and I'd come out with a gas mask. This is before a smoke-free places. And so I come out with a gas mask, and I would say, what did I say? Oh, I don't even remember. But okay. that convinced people not to smoke. Anyway, he really liked me, and he liked my voice. So he asked me to play Ma Otter. I did not manipulate her. Frank Oz did. And he worked with me for about a month, getting me out of my New York regionalism on every word, but it became such a favorite. I think it was a favorite, the favorite of his. You know, I think it was most reflective of his sentiment and the simplicity of it, you know.
About all I got left is a sense of humor and a washtub.
Well, at least there ain't no hole in the washtub.
Head full of good thoughts, belly full of grub, money in your pocket when there ain't no hole in the washtub.
Sweet as honeysuckle on the vine, Ma.
Your nails won't break and your toes won't stub. You never get a fever when there ain't no hole in the washtub.
I miss him. He was the nicest genius I'd ever known.
What have been some of your other, you wake up in the morning, you think back on your career, what have been some of your crowning triumphs, your personal favorites?
I'm very grateful for my life and for the career that I have been blessed with. I guess when I think of the process and then the outcome of a wonderful show called Operetta, The Beggar's Opera, that was 1972, and it was a great cast, and just the process, the rehearsal process, was so workmanlike, just beautiful. Our music was late, so we rehearsed the lyrics as if they were part of the dialogue, and it was really gorgeous, really gorgeous. And so I won an OB for that. Mm-hmm. I loved being on The Tonight Show. It was a dream come true. I loved working with Dick Van Dyke. And I remember one of the guests, that was a variety show on I think it was, yes, NBC, I think. Anyway, it was great doing conversations with my father, with my old friend Judd Hirsch. A dream come true was working with Goldie Hawn in A Foul Play. I remember the audition with the late, great Colin Higgins. I loved doing the first act of Deflator Mouse. And
tell me about the dial jokes. They're in the Smithsonian. Did you imagine that could happen?
No, this was the telephone company. And I don't know how they did it. They asked me if I would record. And so I got my friend Ken Friedman to write the jokes. So he did. And it was like endless reams of jokes. And who knew? I don't know whether New York Telephone, that's what it was called then, submitted the idea to the Smithsonian, but there they are ensconced, enshrined in the Smithsonian. And I grew up with the Smithsonian, you know, Mr. Smithsonian, kidding. But they're there. I have not visited them. It's in a time capsule, so I don't know if the capsule, you know, if the alarm has gone off.
Marilyn, we are out of time, unfortunately, but thank you so much for taking
Sarah,
the time to speak with me and have...
Thank you for inviting me, and I love your nail polish.
Thank you.
I really do. It's one of my favorite colors, teal.
Thank
yes.
you. And have a fantastic run with Old Jews Telling Jokes.
Thank you so much.
Marilyn Sokol is in Old Jews Telling Jokes, which is in previews now at the West Side Theater downstairs on West 43rd Street in New York City. To learn more, visit oldjewstellingjokesonstage.com. That's oldjewstellingjokesonstage.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.